It is now 7:36 a.m., and we are going to be welcoming Brad Graber. Brad's on the line with us. Brad is with Investing in Truth, and their mission is to disciple Christians through building a biblical financial worldview. And Brad, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Oh, just fantastic. We are having too much fun, so I hope that hope you can keep up with us this morning.
I'll do my best.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about how much should we give and talk about a biblical history of tithing and what that looks like for the Christian worldview and us as Christians today. So why don't we kick it off with, let's talk about that historical perspective.
Well, if we break down the historical perspective of giving, and I've got an article that kind of goes through this, I like to break it down into three ranges. Basically, the beginning of Scripture up until the time of Moses, and then we go from the period of Moses to Jesus, and then what does the New Testament then say in the New Testament years? And the two basic ways that we can break it down to is required giving and voluntary giving. And those are, when we can get to that point where we say, what's voluntary, what is required giving, it really breaks giving down into a whole new dimension that I had never seen before I did that study. And because so many times people are coming to me and they're saying, how much should I be giving? And is it that 10%? And, you know, you can look at the history of the tithe, and the tithe actually shows up in the pre-Mosaic time. So before the law ever came, we see the tithe being given by Abraham even. And when we see that history of it, it's easy then to say, oh, well, that was before the law, so that means it's also after the law as well. So it's really interesting to take a look at what is required, what's voluntary, and looking at all three of those time ranges, and then see how does this actually play out to us today.
Well, how do we digest all of that, Brad? Because, you know, I was talking with a really good friend, pastor's wife. It's been a few years ago, and they were teaching on giving and having a little bit of frustration because what evolved out of that was a little bit of a kind of a terse discourse among some members who said, well, you know, do I give my tithe off my gross or off my net? And just really, you know, we got to look at the heart, right?
Absolutely. Giving is completely a heart issue. And if you remember some of our prior discussions when we talked about giving, it's not so much about having this checklist to check off the box. And again, when people are coming to me and asking me the question, how much should I give? A lot of times what I find is that they're looking for that box to check. Just tell me how much it is. I'm going to check that box and I'm going to move on. And we see that exact same type of situation in the story of the rich young man in Mark 10. Because he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what he was doing was he was looking for that checkbox. He wanted to just know, what are the requirements, what can I check the boxes off, and then I can move on. And Jesus played along for a little while and gave him a list of things, and he's like, oh, I've done all those things. But then Jesus knew the heart issue, and he said, oh, I've got one more thing. You need to go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And it says that the man went away sad. And he knew what he wanted. He liked the idea of eternal life, but he didn't see the true value in Jesus and in eternity to be willing to give up the present. So Jesus knew where his heart was, and that's why he asked that of him. And the man wasn't willing to give it up. So ultimately, the battle is for our heart, and it's not something that we can just check a box and move on. So it's not, okay, it's this percentage or this amount. Go give that, and then you can go on with your life. It's not that. It's all about what is our heart. And when we accept Christ, we're voluntarily turning over everything from this world for eternity and for Him. So now we're under a different set of rules at that point, and something needs to be changing in our heart. So now that we're following Him with everything, not just again, checking that box and giving this percentage and then going back to our regular life. We can't just add Jesus to what we already had. We need to give up everything and now follow Jesus.
Yeah, and that's a very important point. You know, it's not just in our finances where we have to be obedient, but it's in our worship, right? I mean, our tithe is part of our worship to our Creator. And so not just only in financial, but in all areas of our life. And you really bring up an excellent point there. And so in that period, I'm interested in that period between Moses to Jesus. Talk about how that really came about, what that second tithe at the festivals and the feasts. Where do we see these things come up in Scripture? And what does that mean to us that, you know, it began with the Israelites and now this got to carry through to our life?
Yeah, so if we, there's a lot of interesting things that we need to take into account when we're in that time period when we basically had a theocracy. So God was the form, the church and the government was kind of all mixed together there. So we had three different forms of the tithe. And the first one was basically a form of taxation. And that was going to run the government. So in today's standpoint, we have a government and we have a taxation system. So those things kind of align with each other. And again, when it goes back to a tithe, most people think, oh, well, it's 10%. And they forget that there was more than one tithe for the Israelites back at that time. The second tithe, as you mentioned, was given to the festivals and the feast. And this was, again, a required offering for them to give, but it was for the enjoyment of the people and ultimately for the glory of God. So they were required to give this second 10%, but ultimately it was for rejoicing and celebrating God. And then you had a third that was given every 10 years, or every 3 years, so another 10% every third year was given, and that was to be given to the Levites and the fatherless, the widows, and basically supporting the poor. So that's where we, when we break it down into those three tithes, we see government, we see the festivals and the feasts or that enjoyment and celebrating God, and then the last one we see as being every third year was given as a required offering to help take care of the poor. And that's where we can, you know, in today's day, we're not required to be giving, well, we have to give to the government, but that's not through the church. The next one is that 10% to celebrate God. So we see that joy in God and that giving that we're doing there. And then that extra bit was that additional giving to care for the poor. So we still see those things today. We're not under that requirement of the law anymore because we're not part of that governmental system that was at that time. And our giving now is more from a voluntary perspective, but we're still doing the same things with it. We're still celebrating God with it, and we're still helping out the poor and being generous to the needy around us. And most of those things can actually take place either through the church or through the parachurch ministries, but it's not this legal requirement that we saw back in that time period of the law.
You know, something that I always, when we're talking, Brad, I always think of this, and I've heard you say it so many times, it all belongs to God anyway. And if we stop and think about that, really take that to heart, because it is truth. I think that changes how we view our giving. And you know, we've been talking, too, about the fact that Share starts for Moody Radio tomorrow. And I know people give to their church, and we never want what belongs to your church. And we don't just ask for money just because we have microphones and we can. We look for a partnership that starts with the heart. The same thing God is looking for, the heart, because we do have a work to do. Your church has a work to do. And ultimately, how much you give is going to depend on your heart for God, really. And how do we work that out, Brad? I mean, when you're counseling people financially, you can throw out numbers all day long. But when you begin to counsel them biblically where their giving is concerned, how do you encourage them to reconcile with God what they should be giving and to be joyful in doing so?
What I like to say is the measuring stick of how much we should give is what gives God the most glory. So we look at the whole of our life, and we have to, again, recognize that everything is God's. And when we do that, and when we understand His lordship over our life, then ultimately we're trying to pour ourselves out for His glory. And there's three ways that we can use our money, and we talk about this all the time. We can give, we can save, we can spend. And what are we trying to, we can glorify God in all those ways, and how much glory can we give Him in each of those? So we need to provide for our family. That's one way that we're actually commanded to use our money, is to provide for our family. So are we doing that? And once we've gotten to the point that we've provided for our family, then we can kind of set that one aside and be looking at the others. Okay, well, saving, that's providing for our family in the future, because we realize there's a day and time when we may have expenses that we can't just fund out of our paycheck. It's going to be bigger than that. Or there's a period of time coming when we may not be able to work and earn a paycheck and provide for our family. So we need to be taking some of what we earn today and setting it aside. And we're glorifying God because we're going to provide for our family in the future through what we're setting aside today. And then the third way then is obviously giving. And we should give God some of our first fruits off the top. But then as we're looking at how much is that total, where do we ultimately go with this? Again, it's not that box of this is the percentage I should give, and then the rest is all mine to use for my own enjoyment. Because if we're trying to glorify God fully, once we've met our needs and even done some of the things where we're investing in our family, then at some point we're going to be able to glorify God more by giving some of it away, to be able to either help the needy or to help the ministries to reach people with the word. We look at things from an eternal perspective, not from how comfortable can I get in this life and how can I move myself up the social ladder by using money on myself. And we look at it from that eternal perspective of, oh, how can I help other people? How can I help my brothers and sisters in Christ who may have a need now and need this money more than I do? Or how can I use it to bring other people into the kingdom? And by doing that, we're finding the place where we can glorify God the most. We've already provided for our family. We're already saving some for our future provision for our family. And now we're measuring, using that measuring stick of what glorifies God the most. And you know what? It may be giving the rest of it all away. And let's make sure that we're sharing the gospel and taking it to all parts of the world and helping others to know Christ. That may be where we're glorifying God the most. And that's really, again, the measuring stick of how should I be using my money is, where am I glorifying God the most? And it's not giving it all away, but it's also not keeping it and being comfortable, because I probably should be making some sacrifices in my own life and not getting everything I want, because there's a better way to use that money and invest it in eternity.
You know, I love what you've shared with us. Over how long have we been talking, Brad? It's been well over a year now. I think we're moving into our second year of having you on Moody Radio to share. And it's been such a burden lifter for me, because I, you know, we're raised a certain way in this country. We look at success largely, I think, from a secular vantage point. And it's not how much we have that tells us we're successful. It's not how much we don't have that tells us we're unsuccessful. Success is what we're doing with what we do have to honor God. So thank you for that encouragement, man.
Yeah, and success should be measured in faithfulness, not mm-hmm. in dollars and cents.
Amen. Hey, Brad, thanks for joining us. We're going to point people to your website, investingintruth.com, to learn more about what we've talked about today. But I know you've got a lot of other great resources there, too, including the financial boot camp. So, you guys, you can find Brad online, investingintruth.com, and every Monday morning right here, 7:35 on Moody Radio. Hey, Brad, have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Kelly.